Over the past couple weeks, before Thanksgiving, if you went into a store or if you turned on your radio, you probably heard Christmas music or you saw Christmas trinkets put up. And if you're anything like me, you were a little bit off put by the fact that Christmas things were going up before Thanksgiving even started, and even a month before Christmas starts. But as I've thought about Christmas and as we prepare for Christmas, this is the Advent season, the preparation for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've thought about how absent Jesus Christ is from our thoughts about Christmas. There's two different ways we can go on our thoughts about Christmas. One way is it's a joyous celebration. We have these songs that excite us, and they bring us thoughts about how great Christmas is, about Yuletide and all sorts of other things that we think of about Christmas, Christmas presents, Christmas trees, a white Christmas, even though only maybe 2 or 3% of the whole world experiences a white Christmas. So there's this one side that's joyous and expectant and hopeful about Christmas without Christ. But then there's another side that is almost the opposite of the hopeful and expectant about Christmas. Thank you. And that's the depressed and the discouraged, because the hopefulness that some people experience, that maybe a few experience, isn't experienced in their own lives. Depression goes up during this time. Suicides go up during this time. It's a painful time for many people who don't have family, who don't have friends, who don't get to celebrate the way that they've envisioned Christmas to be. But as I've thought about these two different ways we can go, it's become so clear to me in a lot of senses, and there's reason to be joyful about Christmas. There's reason to be hopeful about Christmas. Family is a wonderful thing. Presents are a wonderful thing. The love that is experienced by many people is a wonderful thing. And on the other side, it's a terrible thing that people have to experience Christmas alone, and it's sad, and it's hard for a lot of people, even some in this room. But our thoughts during this season of Christmas are so easily and quickly drawn away from the purpose of Christmas, about the person for whom we celebrate Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this first few verses here in Luke chapter 2, and I think we have a few words about how to experience Christmas. And this is the story of the birth of Christ, and I want to bring this in. Maybe a little bit too early, and I'm taking a shot on this, but so that Christ is brought back into Christmas in our lives, into our thoughts, into our attention. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. It brings me back to where we started, and to the question: is there room in this world for Jesus? Is there room in our hearts for Jesus? Now, what was going on, and what we just read, is that the people of Israel were called to give an account for themselves in their hometowns, in the cities of their descendants. Joseph and Mary were of the city of Bethlehem, of the lineage of David, who was from Bethlehem. So they had to go to Bethlehem. And many other people were going to Bethlehem to make their number be counted for the census. So, you know, the text doesn't exactly lay out all the details, but it seems that the city was flooded with a group of people who weren't normally there. Their thoughts and attention of the people were drawn to all the different people who were in the town. And the inn was filled. The houses were filled. And I've heard different preachers talk about this in different ways, whether it was a guest house or an actual hotel or something of that sort. It could have been a person's house, but there wasn't room for them to stay. And Mary seems to be doing her best with what she has. There's no room for them to go, so she finds the best thing she can for this child, for this newborn child that she knows is special. And she finds a feeding trough, a place where animals eat. And she makes it into a crib, a carriage for her baby. And there's something so sweet about how Mary takes care of and tends to her child. But on the other hand, to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be put where the animals eat from is a disgrace and a travesty. There was no room for him in the inn. Is there room for you in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ to dwell in your heart in this time of Christmas or in any time else? But how are we to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ in this season where our thoughts and attentions are flooded either by depression and sadness and loneliness, or by trinkets and excitement and family? How are we to take in the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we make room? I think if we look at the rest of this text from verse 8 through verse 20, we see how a certain group of men receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we also are to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8 with me. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. So what did these shepherds do? And then what are we supposed to do as a result of the good news that is given to us? These shepherds received and acted upon the good news that was given to them. Notice in verse 15 and 16, after they had been told this great news by these frightening angels, these angels that scared them, and this host that claimed glory to God in the highest, and they must have been singing or shouting, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. They were frightened of this, and they took it, and they received it, and they went straight. My Bible says they went straight to Bethlehem to see the baby. And then in verse 16 it says, they came in a hurry, they rushed, they didn't wait. Sometimes we, when we get this good news, the good news of the gospel, or a command from the Lord, or a description from the Lord, sometimes we sit on it and we say, well, we'll see what happens, we'll wait. I've shared the gospel with friends who have said, I'm just not ready, I'd like to think about it. And they think about it, and they think about it, and I've seen people think about it, and they think about it, and they think about it, and one day they will die. I don't know when it will be. Some have died who I've shared the gospel with. But if you don't receive it, if you don't act on it, the time is short. But to those who do receive it, to those who receive this good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to them, as many as received it, to them he has given the right to become children of God. You see, the good news of Christmas is that God so loved the world, he so loved you and you and you and me, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever might believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. It's good news, and if you don't act on it, if you don't go straight away, and you don't hurry and rush to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the promised blessings that he gives to us. But for most of us, we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We've taken him into our hearts. So what do we do? What did the shepherds do? The shepherds made the good news known to the others, to the other people. Look at verse 17. When they had seen this, when they had seen the angels, and then they had come to Mary and Joseph, and they had seen Jesus in the manger, just as they had been told. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. You see, they came to Mary and Joseph, and they told them about what they had been told. That this wasn't just a child. See, as you looked at this baby, as you came in and you saw a baby, you would think nothing of it. The scripture tells us that Jesus had no stately form about him or appearance that would draw us to him. That we would think he was a king or that he was the Lord of Lords. He was a baby. He was a person. He was a man. He had no distinction about him. Mary and Joseph needed to be told how precious this child was. That this was a child, not just a child, but a savior. The savior. The savior of the world. The savior who came to save you and to save me from our sins. But if they had kept it to themselves, what would Mary have had to treasure in her heart? She would have had other descriptions. She had met an angel. She had had other occasions to get a glimpse of who this Jesus was. But the shepherds were a piece to tell Mary and Joseph that their child was more than just a child. This was the child come to save the world. And this is our role too. 1 Peter 2, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It says that those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a people of God's own possession. And then there's a reason for this. So that you might declare, that you might tell of the excellencies of the Lord Jesus Christ, him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, we're a people that have been created for not our own glory, not to raise up our own self-esteem and in our own thoughts, but we're created to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known throughout the whole world. This is our call, and this is what the shepherds did. And then, finally, we are to praise and worship the Lord for what he has done and for what he has shown us, what he has told us. Look at verse 20. These shepherds had met the Lord Jesus, and they had told about the Lord Jesus to Mary and Joseph, and as they had to go back to their livelihood, to their work, it says the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. See, the response of the shepherds is to tell. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to let it be known. But the other natural response was worship and praise. Now, this is something that's hard for us because we feel like oftentimes that we're, God is forcing us to praise him for something he's not, we just have this sense, this feeling that it's not right that somebody's asking us to praise him. But praise is a natural expression of our love for something, of our appreciation for something that is awesome, that's amazing, or inspires us. We see worship all the time. This past week, I saw hundreds of thousands and millions of people worshiping Auburn in Alabama, and finally they worshiped Auburn. And they'll worship Auburn for another week, and maybe they'll worship them this weekend when they play again. And if they make it to the national championship, they'll worship them, and they'll worship Cam Newton until something comes out about him that he's not a good person. And we worship, we praise, we get excited about those things that excite us, that are neat and thrill our hearts. But how much more worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ of our praise and worship than football, than any other thing that we worship and praise, than food, or we worship all the time. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is worthy of our praise. He is our Savior. He is the one who condescended himself. He came up into the world to take on flesh to save you and me. He is worthy of our worship, and it is our natural expression of worship. So in these next few weeks, as you struggle with the different things, the trinkets and the excitement of Christmas, and you struggle within your own soul about the deficiencies of your own life, of families that have been broken, about your own life, and if it's lonely, I encourage you to make your room in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get distracted by these things, by the things of the world, that Satan wants to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and the purpose of this time and this season. This is a time to draw near to accept, to receive the Lord Jesus. This is a time to make the Lord Jesus Christ known to all that we see, all that we come in contact with. And this is a time to praise and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ for the great things that he has done in our lives, because he is the Savior, he is the Lord, he is the King of kings. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus Christ, turn our hearts to you, Lord. And Lord, as you say that you stand at the door and knock, and if anyone would open the door and hear your voice, Lord, that you would come in and you would dine with them and you would spend intimate fellowship with him, Lord. Lord, we receive you and we accept you into our hearts. We ask that you would come and that you would indwell us, that you would fill us, and that we would make you known and that we would praise and worship you with all of our hearts and all of our souls. Lord, as we're so prone to get distracted in this season, we pray that our eyes would be fixed exceedingly and completely on you. And forgive us that we haven't kept our eyes on you as we should. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.